Although both very young, they were old enough to know that their daddy was not coming back and that Mammy was terribly upset. Nothing seemed to console her. May Kelly and Nanny did their best to keep the house together. Mary was the only one who seemed to be able to bring any kind of a smile to her mommy's face. They had a good relationship, of course. Catherine's little heart was breaking. She missed her daddy so much, and bedtime was the worst of all. No more kisses and cuddles before being tucked in. But worst of all, no more wonderful stories about Jesus. And what about the Sunday morning parties for all her little friends on the lawn? Catherine knew that her mommy wouldn't be having any of those. And she was sad, very sad indeed. Eleanor, you've been moping around for months now. You must pull yourself together for the sake of the children, at least. They need their mother. Owen Conway, one of Dublin's best-known doctors, sat forward in his armchair and poked at the smouldering blocks of wood. He glanced over at his sister, wondering if she was listening at all. Eleanor, deeply engrossed in her needlework, was listening. I know, Owen, you're right. I can't go on like this. Everything is getting out of hand. I'm simply not able to manage a house of this size on my own. I miss James desperately. He took care of everything. Would you consider selling here and moving to a smaller house closer to the city? Her brother asked. It did cross my mind lots of times. And we would be nearer to you too, Owen, Eleanor replied. I know Catherine would be happy being closer to your little Anne. They're great friends, and so alike in lots of ways. Eleanor Macaulay took her brother's advice, and indeed, the advice of many of her Protestant friends who lived closer to the city. Her distant relatives, the Armstrongs, who lived in Mary Street, were also happy with her decision to move. They were very fond of the children and interested in their welfare. They too were Protestants, of course. Some months later, Stormiston House and much of its contents were sold. While it was difficult for all of them to leave the big house and those in it they loved, it was most difficult for Catherine. She was the apple of her daddy's eye, and so many things there reminded her of him. But James Macaulay's spirit was alive in his daughter, young as she was. She would bring him with her wherever she went for the rest of her life. God save all, Your Ladyship. Ned Kelly and his young son Tom pulled their carts alongside the carriage just as Larry was about to send Daisy and Bella on their last official journey to Glasnevin, where Eleanor Macaulay had purchased their new family home. Young Tom has something for you, Miss Catherine, Ned announced as he pointed to Tom, who was sitting in the back of the cart, holding on to a rather large object covered with an old bit of a sack. Catherine's little head appeared through the carriage window, just in time to see Tom reveal what was hidden. You can have it back, 'cause your daddy didn't have time to make you another one before Jesus brought him to heaven, Tom said, as Catherine gazed in absolute amazement at her now well-battered rocking horse. If Catherine Macaulay left Stormiston House with a pain in her heart, she also left with a broad smile on her face, revealing the joy she felt at that moment. Her daddy's rocking horse was going with her to Glasnevin.